worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We'll be introducing our in-studio guests in just a few moments. But as we begin, we invite you to look with us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 1, beginning at verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the fact that as we read your word daily, we have the privilege of hearing from your heart and your mind every single day. And thank you for the guidance, the grace, the strength, the encouragement that comes from spending time in your word each and every day. Help us to grow in our knowledge and our commitment to spend time with you and your word each and every day, and help us to be faithful to teach and train others to do the same. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're grateful to have with us in studio today Ilhami and Ann Connor, who are the directors of the ministry Windswept Academy. Good to have you all with us today.
Thank you very much.
All righty then. Okay. Good to have you all with us in studio. And as we start off, Ilhami and Ann, you all have been with us before, and it's been a little over a year, probably.
About a year and a half.
Okay, but good to have you all once again. But if you would tell our listeners, reintroduce yourselves to our listeners, because some may not have caught the broadcast, but at the same time, the work you do is such an important work in the places where you work. So just kind of reintroduce yourself to our listeners, if you would, please.
Okay, my husband and I started a Christian school on an Indian reservation in South Dakota. The reservation is the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe Reservation. It is the size of Connecticut, so it's a large reservation. And we started with 12 students, and we now have 80 students 8 years later. So you can see that God is growing the school. And we have about 3 to 5 students that accept the Lord every year. So that's always exciting. So if you go 3 times 8, it's 24, or whatever you want to say. But that many children now know who Jesus is.
Okay. And how many students altogether did you say?
80 this year.
80 students at Windswept Academy.
Yes.
Okay. And say again where you're located.
We're located in Eagle Butte, South Dakota, which is really towards the middle of the state.
Okay.
If anything, it's Middle West.
Okay, then. So y'all were traveling one day, and you just thought this was a good idea when you're traveling.
No. God sent me out there on a mission trip, which I have never done before. And I always believed in missionaries, so I always helped support them, and I prayed for them, because to me, prayer is number one. And Joseph, that is exactly why I absolutely adore you, because you really, truly believe a lot in prayer.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, as you share a little bit more about the academy, you know, and it's funny, I was reading Psalm 1, and I'd never noticed before the fact that the word wind is in that psalm, you know. I was thinking about that in relation to Windswept Academy. Can you explain why you named the academy Windswept Academy?
Our pastor at the time was Chris Walker, and Chris said, I wanted him to name the academy because I couldn't come up with a good name. And he said, oh, Ann, look at it out here. The wind sweeps it. He said, so think of the Holy Spirit sweeping it. So that's how the name Windswept Academy came.
And, you know, that's so powerful to think about that because, you know, the Holy Spirit is many things. He's a wind, he's a fire, and he's many, many things.
That's right.
But that's a beautiful picture of who the Holy Spirit is. When he sweeps over our life, he changes everything.
That's right.
So,
and we had a child yesterday come to the Lord, too.
Well, praise God. Well, tell like, probably many of our listeners may not be that familiar with some of the unique challenges of working on a Native American reservation. What would be some of the challenges that you deal with that you'd like to share about?
Well, the main thing with Eagle Butte is that the children do not have a mother and a father. Mm-hmm. They have caregivers that might be their mother or they might be their father. There's no such thing as marriage. Mm. So they're all born out of wedlock. And then their money that is given to them goes for their drugs or their alcohol. So that makes it horrible. We do have a lot of good people, too. You know, there's always those, and I'm so thankful for them. And but that makes it hard for our children. Their homes are a disaster. There's no such thing. Most of them don't have beds. They sleep on the floor. And there's no such thing as a dresser, you know, to put their clothes in. So everything is just thrown all around. And they have to find it. We feed our children 2.5 times a day. So they have a full breakfast, a full lunch, with it, which is a hot meal. And then we send them home with a large snack. So if they don't get fed that night, they can have something to eat.
Okay. Well, you know, if someone listening wants to learn more about Windswept Academy, the work that you do, or if they're thinking they want to become prayer partners with you or support the Ministry of Financial, how can they learn more about Windswept Academy?
They can go to our website, which is windsweptacademy.org. Okay. Or, you know, I don't mind people even calling me. So they can call the school, which is 605-964-7600. But if they want to talk to me personally, my telephone number is 571-243-3233.
I'll repeat that one more time.
571-243-3233. It's so easy, it's complicated number.
Okay, okay. Well, what are some other things about the Academy you'd like to share with our listeners about the work that you do?
Well, the children really are learning. They we only have 12 students per class, and we have waiting lists for children wanting to come in, and we don't have the space.
So the community really appreciates and
recognizes
the value of students going to Windswept.
But that has taken 6 years. First 6 years, they did not appreciate us.
Okay.
But they do appreciate us now. And we have a lot of the tribal council members. They are sending their grandchildren or children to our school.
Now, the tribal council, they're basically the governing body.
Yes, they are.
On the reservation.
Yes.
Correct? Okay.
Yeah, so it is a challenge because when these children come to kindergarten, they don't even know their ABCs. They don't know their numbers. So our kindergarten teacher, who is a man, has to teach them that too. But when they get through with kindergarten, they can read books, they can write, and they know their two tables, five tables and 10 tables. And of course, they know how to subtract and add. So it is amazing how smart these children are. And this past year, I make them do the standardized testing in America instead of doing the South Dakota testing because the South Dakota testing is easy. So I make them do the United States testing, and they were at the 70 percentile. I am very, very proud of that.
Okay. Well, Ilhami, what would be something else you'd like to share about the school that you think our listeners would be touched by?
Well, in addition to all the things Ann mentioned, I think one of the most meaningful aspect of our school is that you can see it in the students' eyes every morning when they come to school. They are happy, one thing.
They're glad to be there.
They are glad to be there. They have taken ownership of this space. This place is theirs, and they are safe, and they are loved. You can see how they respond to their teachers, and like Ann and I, when we walk in there, we get kisses and hugs. Like we cannot walk anywhere with somebody attacking us because the children respond likely when we handle them in a certain way, right. they love that because in their normal lives, not all of them, I should never say all of them, but most of our children, for example, don't hear the words, I love you. So there are classes that you, every now and then Ann and I walk through the halls and listen. You know, they literally, Miss H, I love you. They tell their teacher.
Okay.
They pass notes and things like that. So
that's good.
It is so important to have a safe environment where one can learn, because if you don't have safety, it's difficult to learn anything.
Right.
And so we are proud that we are able to provide them that safe place that they take ownership of.
Okay. Well, again, share the website one more time.
Windsweptacademy.org. Okay. www.windsweptacademy.org.
All righty then. And how should listeners pray for the ministry and pray for you all as well?
Well, for us, just pray for us and safety on the roads, because my husband and I travel between 50 and 60,000 miles a year
to raise the money.
Raising the support for the work of Windswept Academy.
Yeah, for the academy, because our children don't pay tuition. So we have to raise that money, and through the churches and lots of people that have heard us, even on AFR, we're very thankful for them. And they send money to the academy, and that goes ahead and really lets these children be there. Because our teachers, too, they make $16,000 a year, and that's it. And so, and they all take in Indian children that live with them.
Oh, so they have children that board with them as well as
yeah.
Yes, but
students.
When you say board, they don't get paid.
They live.
Okay.
They live with them. They are just like their own child.
They adopt them.
They adopt them, basically, even though they're not allowed
unofficially.
To. Unofficially.
Yeah. Yeah, that's neat. That's neat. So prayer, basically, for provision.
For provision for the school. For safety for our students when they're at home, when they're with their caregiver, and for them, for their learning.
Okay.
And for our teachers' health.
Yes.
It's a grueling work in the school year.
And the different diseases are there.
Yeah.
My doctor makes me have a TB test every year. Just because there's so much TB on that reservation.
Okay.
So
some health challenge issues.
Yes,
as well.
And our teachers have it all the time.
Okay.
There's always some kind of sickness, and the children don't hug us if they're sick. It is so cute. They'll go, "No, Miss Ann, I can't hug you today. I don't feel good."
They're looking out for y'all.
Yes, they do, because they know what we're doing. They realize that we are raising the money for them.
Amen. Well, thank you all so much for coming on this segment and sharing about it. And again, if a listener wants, of course, we hope that every single listener will pray for the ministry of Windswept Academy. But also, if there are people that, if they go on their website, that'll tell them how to contribute, to donate, and other maybe things they might could do to help support the ministry.
That's right. And we always need help as far as people coming out there and helping our students.
Okay.
In addition to that, so that listeners know, the Windswept Academy is a 501c3, not-for-profit educational association. So any amount given is tax deductible fully.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for coming on the broadcast today.
Thank you.
Bless.
You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back after this break.
Evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand it completely. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. In one fell swoop, Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg has revealed what many have long believed, that the High Court is politically motivated and is far from neutral and detached. In interviews with the New York Times and CNN, Ginsburg voiced her objections to Donald Trump becoming the next president in no uncertain terms. Her comments resulted in fire coming from both sides of the political spectrum. The Judicial Ethics Code prohibits judges from weighing in on political issues publicly. After all, they're supposed to be above political fracas. Ethics seem to be optional for progressives.
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Let me say this from the beginning. Anytime God is calling us to do something that we don't want to do, He has to get stern with us before we'll ever move. Whatever that looks like and however that plays out, one thing is certain. God will never force you to do anything. Think about it. In terms of your personal relationships, you don't want a relationship with someone because they feel obligated. You want a relationship with them because they want to be in one. It's the same way with the Father. He wants sons and daughters who want a love relationship with Him above obedience. We don't obey because we have to. We obey because we get to and we want to. Choose to join Him in the work of saving the lost because we love Him and we are devoted to Him. He'll never force you, but He'll definitely compel you to come. Choose wisely, my friend. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Equipped with Chris Brooks.
This program is an apologetic endeavor. What I want to do is really train you in the art and science of defending and commending your Christian faith to people who maybe they've been hurt by the church, maybe they don't believe like you believe, and you're saying to yourself, how do I have an effective conversation with them? Well, we're looking for an evangelistic edge, if you will, that will allow us to more effectively, more contextualize the gospel so that we can reach men and women for Christ. Quite often, the on-ramp, if you will, is looking at culture and taking advantage of the conversations that folks are already having and saying, how can I leverage this to get people to talk about Jesus? This show becomes kind of massively significant to you if your desire is to reach people for Christ.
Get equipped with Chris Brooks.
Join me Monday through Friday at noon Central Time on Urban Family Talk.
Music of Glenda Woods, the song I'm Healed. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Let me remind you that we do have our Fall Share-a-thon coming up just next week. And if you haven't called in and shared a listener testimony, we'd still really appreciate hearing from you. If you call this number, 1-877-327-5647, and share a testimony, we would appreciate hearing from you if you'll just share how the Lord has used Urban Family to bless you, to strengthen you in your walk with the Lord, to help you as a disciple and follow the Lord. We'd be glad to hear from you and get that testimony in. And you just might hear your voice on Share-a-thon. Again, that number is 1-877-327-5647. 1-877-327-5647. We're grateful to have in this next segment Steve Crampton, who is he specializes in constitutional law. He is an attorney, a Christian attorney that loves the Lord, and I'm going to let him tell you a little bit more about who he is and what he's done. Years ago, he was a part of the AFA family and worked in our law office. But Steve, tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself.
Well, first, let me just say it's great to be with you, Joseph. And in fact, this studio we're in brings back memories as well, doing some Today's Issues programs and other things when I was with AFA. Mm-hmm. But I've practiced law for over 30 years. It's hard to believe.
And you're still a young fellow.
Still a young fellow. Thank you.
Right.
And handled a lot of different kinds of matters. I did represented some large corporations and did business law. I did some criminal law. I've done family law, just all over the map. But the Lord really got a hold of me and called me into the work of defending the rights of Christians in a constitutional context. And that's really where I've concentrated and was privileged to work with AFA in that area for many years. And am still handling many of those cases. I do some other private practice matters in addition, but my real focus and concentration and love is in the constitutional arena.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you said you've been an attorney for over 30 years.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, now, if someone was to approach you, Steve, and say, I don't see how you can be a Christian and an attorney, how would you respond to that?
Well, I'd say, we need to sit down and talk. Because, look, you go back to the founding of our nation, where I spend a lot of time reading and thinking about. And while they don't necessarily quote chapter and verse out of Scripture, mm-hmm. the whole underpinning of our legal system is mm-hmm. based on the Word of God. It is That's a right. Christian approach to law, and ultimately, it is the word of truth. It is truth that we must build a country on, mm-hmm. just as a sure foundation is necessary for a home or any other structure.
Right.
And so while we have strayed a great deal in our nation in our legal proceedings, the root of it is still a Christian system. And so I think it's a great delight and a blessing to be able to practice law and practice our faith as well.
Right. Okay. If you would, Steve, before we go further, I want to ask that you pray for listeners. There may be someone listening that has the thought of going into law has crossed their mind, maybe a young person or maybe an older person that and maybe it's been on their heart a long time, but for whatever reason they put it off. But the reality is God needs believers in so many fields
yes.
that are willing to stand up for their faith. And, of course, the law, the legal field is certainly one of those as well. Would you pray for those listeners?
I'd be happy to. Thank you. Let's go to the Lord. Father, what a privilege it is to come before you, the God of all gods, the King over all kings. Lord, you are the great lawgiver. You are the judge of all the earth. And Lord, we want to come to you and lift up to you right now. Yeah, any that might be listening who is pondering a career in law, Father, we pray that you would give him or her a clear word from you, that they would know in their heart of hearts, Lord, and feel the great peace that comes over only through your Holy Spirit, that this is your will for their lives. Lord, that you would equip them. We do know that so many schools, law schools included, are difficult places for those who have faith in Jesus Christ. But Lord, through the power of your Spirit, we can overcome all things. And we pray that you would prepare them, Lord, that you would give them that peace that passes understanding. And Father, that you would give them all they need in order to do your great and good will. And Father, we thank you that you hear us, that you are a God who answers prayers. You are a God who delights in hearing from his children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Steve, again, you stated that you've been an attorney for over 30 years. What would you say have been some of the biggest challenges as a Christian attorney that you've dealt with in your career as an attorney?
Well, as I mentioned in the prayer, I mean, law schools are particularly predisposed in general against a Christian faith. And there is
so they're biased against
there is
Christians.
A bias there, and so sometimes they will single out the believer and try to make a spectacle of you. I did not experience that directly. We did form our own little Christian law student group, and we were denied recognition on the same basis as other groups. But we were able to appeal that, and by God's grace, we achieved all those benefits that other groups received. Mm-hmm. But then throughout my career, I have found, especially in working with some of the law firms, where the senior management is very much behind a liberal, aggressive, activist kind of agenda in the courts, so that they will volunteer time and put legal teams on cases that stand directly opposed to what I believe. I remember one occasion in particular before I came to AFA. I was testifying before a state legislature in the context of a bill that wanted to adopt a non-discrimination policy that would elevate and give what I thought were special rights to lesbian and gay people. Mm-hmm. And lawyers from my firm were testifying on the other side mm-hmm. in support of the bill. Mm-hmm. So there is a tension, a natural tension, if you will, maybe supernatural, we could say, mm-hmm. between the world and what it values and what it thinks really is right and wrong mm-hmm. and what we believe is right and wrong. And that tension is there. I've seen it in the courtrooms, judges that are biased against us. I've seen it, of course, among law enforcement personnel who mm-hmm. bring a special sort of bent sometimes against Christians that are exercising their rights on the public ways. But throughout it all, I would say it is a wonderful walk when we are so utterly dependent on God and His Spirit to lead us mm-hmm. and to protect us and to see His faithfulness in carrying us through those times.
Mm. You know, I appreciate you just sharing your thoughts and your heart on that. It's helpful for us to understand that in the true sense of the word, everything really is spiritual, whether people believe it or not. You know, like, there's a sense in which you could eliminate the word secular out of your vocabulary.
Yes.
Because everything has a spiritual foundation. Everything's related to either right or wrong.
Yes.
And it's important that we understand that God is sovereign over all issues, every concerns, all the matters that people deal with. And so as it relates to the legal system and the making of laws in our society, too, it's important for us to know that we can honor God in that area of life or we can dishonor Him.
Man, I just so appreciate the way you put that, too, Joseph. And it's not only the law. It is every area, whether it's economics or art, mathematics, you know, physics, the businessman on the street, the salesman. Every one of those professions, every one of those callings is an opportunity and a challenge to exercise our faith. And in the making of law, I was shocked recently in speaking to civic groups. Mm-hmm. I had one believer tell me, well, we all know, of course, you can't legislate morality, and then went on with the rest of his statement. I said, whoa. Almost every piece of legislation is enacting someone's morality. The question mm-hmm. is not whether we can, it's whose morality is being enacted, mm-hmm. certainly in the criminal arena. And we have to return to that basic thought that you just laid out. God is sovereign over all, and mm-hmm. He must be sovereign in our legal system, or we're going to pay the penalty. And it's not just believers that will suffer. It's all of society that suffers when we stray from His way and His foundation.
That's right. And, you know, I think of this too, Steve. You know, you just mentioned this, the statement that you hear people say often, you know, you can't legislate morality. Well, I guess in a sense, that's what laws do.
That's what laws do.
But at the same time, sometimes people they use it for what furthers their desire, their concern, but they use it against something that they think doesn't line up with what they want to see happen.
Exactly so. And so there's this false model out there that the world generally shares where those that come to the law from a Christian perspective, like I do, like you would, mm-hmm. We are the ones trying to legislate morality. But those that oppose our agendas, that are enacting their own private agenda, mm-hmm. don't see any contradiction, don't believe that theirs mm-hmm. is a moral agenda. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the arguments. Let me just go there now. In the marriage cases, I have fought marriage cases from California to Massachusetts, from New York to Florida and all over the country and in the U.S. Supreme Court. And the arguments made on behalf of, for instance, the same-sex marriage proponents, mm-hmm. were almost entirely morals arguments. And they mm-hmm. would readily concede that. The mm-hmm. justices knew that. And yet they enacted they ruled in favor of the same-sex marriage advocates and told us, by the way, back when the cases came up regarding laws against sodomy, mm-hmm. that it was improper for legislative bodies to enact laws based on morality. So it's bad for the legislature, but apparently it's good for the courts. Mm-hmm. So again, there's this tremendous hypocrisy and really an ignorance mm-hmm. about the way law works, I mm-hmm. think.
And you know what is sad, too, is that you really see people in positions of leadership, whether they're legislatures or other leaders, it's like they do gymnastics around making a point, whereas yes. in reality, you know, often people use the term common sense. Well, right. some things are foolish and they're destructive. You know, in reality, sins, whether people understand it, if sin eventually will kill you.
Amen.
It's bad for you.
May I interject? I'm, again, so appreciative of just the way you put that. I am shocked recently. Perhaps you saw some of the polls and George Barna's research mm-hmm. that indicates that even among professed Christian young people, mm-hmm. there is this overwhelming majority who believe that there are no absolutes. Mm-hmm. And yet, when we talk about common sense, isn't mm-hmm. it, in fact, the recognition that many of our older generation would call common sense followers, mm-hmm. they might not have articulated in these terms, but what we're dealing with, you use the term reality. There mm-hmm. is an objective reality. Right. There is a right and a wrong. And mm-hmm. whether we pretend that there's not or we recognize it, it's there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the old saw about the law of gravity. You can say you don't believe in it, but when you fall off the cliff, you're going to fall. Gravity's mm-hmm. going to take over. Mm-hmm. And so it is in the moral arena. I'm a big fan of Winston Churchill, and Churchill used to say, you can chase nature away, mm-hmm. but she returns at a gallop. You know, we have tried to chase nature away, mm-hmm. nature being the objective truth, mm-hmm. but we're going to deal with it, and we're going to suffer consequences for our choices there.
That's right. You know, it's so helpful for us to understand that when we allow the Word of God to be the guide for our life, it fixes a lot of problems, even when we don't realize it, because God's yes. Word is truth.
Yes.
And truth is good for everybody. It's good for you spiritually, Amen. Mentally, physically.
Amen.
On the other hand, to violate truth is bad for you. It'll hurt you, and it'll kill you.
It'll kill you. I mean, you know, Proverbs is so clear, isn't it? There's mm-hmm. a way that seems right to man, mm-hmm. and that's where we are today, I think. But the ends thereof are the ways of death. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me so that is true as well in law. And what our founders recognized is when we line up our legal code according to God's word, all peoples will prosper. They don't have to be professed followers of Jesus Christ. They will benefit from a mm-hmm. code that honors God and his objective truth. And correspondingly, we are suffering because we have strayed from that standard.
That's right. That's right. You know, the word says you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. You know, it's good for us to know real freedom is not being able to do whatever you want.
Right.
Freedom is rooted in knowing God and following him, you know.
Amen.
If you can do whatever you want, it'll kill you.
I think often, you remember Dr. D. James Kennedy, whose program we used to carry on AFR some years ago, mm-hmm. had the great illustration of the little goldfish in the bowl. Mm-hmm. And the goldfish yearned to be free, and all his desires would be fulfilled if he could flop out of that fishbowl. And so when he flops out, what happens? He dies.
He dies.
You can call that freedom, but it's death is mm-hmm. what it is in reality. And again, yeah, we've got to recognize the water that we're made to live in and swim in.
That's right. That's right. Our in-studio guest is Steve Crampton, Attorney Steve Crampton. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Thanks for joining us today.
Dysfunction in Washington is not the problem. The real issue is a lack of leadership.
When it comes to economic policy, our government seems to be out of control, and Christians could have a role in restoring it.
Christians will change the direction of America if we step up.
Visit afastore.net to find the DVD Surviving Government Economic Policies with Dan Celia, as well as all the resources of the AFA Cultural Institute.
What's going on? It's your man Sean Tanner, and you are in the field with the track stars Ryan Righteous, Sean Tanner, and DJ Jeremiah. Keep it locked to Urban Family Talk and be sure to tune in to the Track Stars each and every Saturday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time. Log on to www.trackstarsradio.com or download our app available on iTunes and the Android Market to get our podcast. Keep it locked to Urban Family Talk and Track Stars Radio. Let's go!
Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk. The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
I am proud to say that I am not an African-American, I am an American!
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
The old saying goes, boys will be boys. But Dr. Tony Evans says if they're ever going to be men, they need an example to follow. He explains as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
The former principal of Cedar Hill High School called me up and he said, look, we got gangs going crazy over here and this causing havoc. He says, anything church can do. So he shut down the classes, brought all the boys to the auditorium, and I walked over there with 25 men. First of all, you could tell that most of those boys hadn't seen that many men in one place at one time. So then we got 25 men lining the aisle. They don't have their pants hanging around their ankles. They were suits and ties and they're standing up there. I talked about what it means to be a man, what it means to be responsible. After that one meeting, gang activity stopped. Why? Because they had a look of what it looks like when men are in their midst. Our kids need to see men in their midst who love God and who love them. We had a single parent having trouble with a 15-year-old son. Didn't know what to do with him. You know, he was going through that teenage rebellion, and he was a lot bigger than she was. She called the church. She said he won't obey, and she brought him to the principal's office. I said, three of the biggest deacons we had over there. They went in and said, your mother has told us if she has any more trouble about you, we can spank you one at a time. That boy didn't need a counselor. That boy didn't need a therapist. He didn't need to go to a special school. He needed some brothers to take off that belt and wear him out. That's what that boy needed.
Learn more about how a godly man can change his family, his church, even his world. Request a copy of Dr. Evans' best-selling book, Kingdom Man, for yourself, your brother, uncle, husband, father, teenage son, or your church study group. Visit us at TonyEvans.org and click on the link that says Making Kingdom Man. That's TonyEvans.org. Then join us next time as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Of JR with the song Your Word. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker, right in studio guest, Attorney Steve Crampton. And before Steve comes back, let me remind you too, If you're not reading your Bible every day, today is a good day to start that habit. I like to encourage the goal of reading at least 3 chapters every day. Remember this, God's word is like a bottle of grace, and it's if God asks the question every day, how much do you want? So if you make it a habit of reading the word of God every single day, it pours grace, peace, strength, and encouragement into your mind, your heart, your life. You need it. I need it. Our children desperately need it. So help your kids get into the word every single day, too. And make it a habit of encouraging your friends and the people you deal with to get into the word. Because, again, typically everybody has a Bible in our society, but lots of people have them collecting dust, and you don't want that. So if you're not reading it every day, today is a good day to start that habit. 3 chapters a day will bless your socks off. So I hope you'll take the time to do that. Steve, as we start, I want to ask if you'll share a little bit more about just where you are in your journey with the Lord these days as an attorney, too.
Well, I appreciate that, Joseph. Yes, I recently declared my candidacy for a seat on the Mississippi Supreme Court. We actually elect them here.
So some places do not elect.
Many places do not. They're appointed like the federal system. But in Mississippi, we have that privilege to vote for our Supreme Court justices. And as you would imagine, I did not come to that decision lightly and without much prayer and consultation, both with godly friends and also with my family. But it's a little bit like when the Lord called me into the arena of defending the rights of Christians in the constitutional context, I could not get over the fairly simple but profound questions. You've probably heard them many times. Given what I saw going on, in this case, in our courts and in the arena of law generally, something needed to be done. Someone needed to take action. And the question that was haunting me that I finally had to answer directly is, you know, if not you, who? And if not now, when?
Right.
And I really believe that the Lord has called me to this run. Obviously, results are in His hands, but we want to be faithful and honor Him in the midst of our campaign and in giving ourselves to that new path on the journey. I'm still practicing law, but a whole lot of campaigning going on these days.
Okay. Well, if listeners wanted to pray for you and your campaign, what would be maybe 2 or 3 specific things that people could pray for you on your journey?
Only 2 or 3.
Okay.
No, that's okay.
Et cetera. However many.
Et cetera. Well, yeah. The needs of a campaign are many and great. So I would say God's provision to help us get the word out, where we can reach people and get in front of them. We have a wonderful response, and it's such a blessing to see our concerns echoed among many who are also paying attention and concerned with the direction of our state and of our nation. I would also say for protection spiritually for myself and for my family. I really didn't fully appreciate how much my decision to run was going to involve really every member of my family. And so it has been an exciting journey, but a very challenging one for my family as well. They all signed on before we threw the hat in the ring, but it has really a little bit like that big magnet that's drawing every free piece to it. You know, we every waking moment and every free opportunity, we're drawn to it. But I would also ask for prayers for our state, for our nation, for the spiritual well-being of our churches. Don't you think that we are in many ways on a precipice in our nation today? We have turned away from God and from His word as the basis for our legal code, really for the basis of our whole society. And as we talked in the last segment, there is a price to pay when you choose wrongly, when you choose sinful paths. And I'm afraid our nation faces a time of judgment if we don't return to God in a big way and cry out for His mercy and confess our sins and repent of our own wicked ways.
Right. Would you take time now to pray for our nation and our culture at where it is at this point in time?
I would love to. Let's pray. Father, our great God, you who are the giver of all things good, Lord, we turn to you now, and we recognize and we give thanks to you for your great grace and for your goodness poured out on our land, on our forefathers, on our nation. You have richly provided for us, Lord. You have blessed us with abundance. You have given us in the past many godly leaders. You have just poured out the bounties of your unlimited treasures on our people and on our land. And we have been the ones that have been fortunate to be the givers and not the receivers, the lenders and not the debtors in so many instances. But Father, we find ourselves today much like those in portrayed in Deuteronomy 28. We have turned from you, O Lord, and we have become the debtors. We are now slaves to the lenders. Lord, we have turned from your word and from your ways. In our pride, we have embraced a sinful way. We think that we are making our own laws and dictating in our own ways what is right and what is wrong. And Father, we need your mercy. We need your spirit, Father. We pray for those in leadership. We pray, Father, for those who are in your churches. Lord, that we would shake off our own sinful ways, and we as a people would return to you, Father, and cry out with one voice, Lord, help us, O God, come and lead us by the hand in the way we should go. Lord, exalt the name of Jesus among us all, that believer and non-believer alike would be the beneficiaries of your goodness and your blessings and your grace. Lord, we thank you for the long suffering that you've shown on our land. But Lord, we freely acknowledge that we are a sinful people. Thank we you. Are a needy people. Lord, we need you like never Amen. Before. And we pray that you would come and be king over our hearts and that you would take the throne over our land once again in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Father, I do thank you and I praise you for your sovereignty over the U.S. God. Lord, touch us as a nation, Lord. Lord, help us. I just, as Steve just prayed, help us as a nation to repent of the wrong we've done against you. Lord, we've sinned in so many ways. We've dishonored you and not loved you and loved each other as you should. We confess this to you, Father. Forgive us, Lord, and empower us to be the people you want us to be. And Lord, help us as a nation to put you first. Help us as a nation to learn more and more to make no graven images. Yes. Help us as a nation to not take your name in vain. Lord, help us as a nation to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy.
Amen.
Help us as a nation to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us, Lord, as a nation to not steal. Help us to not kill. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to tell the truth. And help us as a nation to not covet, Lord. Help us to honor you more and more in all that we say and do, individually and collectively as the U.S. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks again for listening. Again, you're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our in-studio guest is Steve Crampton, Attorney Steve Crampton. And let me just say to our listeners, want to say thanks to Danny E. on Africa, who gave 10 stars today. Appreciate that.
Wow.
Appreciate you listening in. So we're going to take one of the questions that were sent to us, Steve. One person wanted to know, what kind of cases do you take as a constitutional attorney?
You know, I take a lot of different kinds of cases. Many involve those that are reaching out to try to counsel women seeking abortions from going through with the process and for ministering to them. That is a particular area of hostile interaction with law enforcement and so forth. We have had a number of cases involving teachers and students in the public schools trying to exercise their religious rights, whether it's praying in private or wearing a cross as a piece of jewelry, valedictorians seeking to share their testimony when they are called to speak at graduation times. We've handled Ten Commandments cases. Not too long ago, we were fortunate enough to win a case in which we were able to keep the Ten Commandments on the walls of a public school in the western part of Virginia. I mentioned earlier we were involved in many marriage cases. We have handled cases against Obamacare and really all kinds of permutations, if you will, of religious freedom. We've been fortunate to minister to and to help with the legal problems of some of the churches. There are zoning issues. Perhaps you've run into this where churches want to locate in a downtown setting, maybe an empty commercial building or something. And through clever manipulation, I would say, sometimes city leaders want to rezone the matter and run the churches out of town. Mm. Again, there's this growing...
The devil's behind that.
That's the truth. There's a growing hostility to what we stand for and how we worship, even where we practice. So it's a wide variety of cases that we've been blessed to be involved in. Mm-hmm. And Lord only knows what tomorrow may hold, right? Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. One more question then, too. How has your Christian faith, how has that been difficult as you've practiced your faith?
Let me say this. It's an interesting dynamic today because a Christian lawyer who professes his faith publicly is a fairly rare duck in today's legal world. There's an instant I wouldn't say ostracizing, but a distance that occurs between myself and the rest of the profession. And yet, while that sometimes can be a burden, there's a great freedom in that too, in that once you're sort of out of the closet with your faith, if you will, then you're not so concerned about saying something that may offend and maybe they're going to take this the wrong way or whatever. There's a real freedom to share our faith and to stand up for God and His Word, even in the legal context, without a fear of additional retribution. It's a little bit like, if I may quote an old Bob Dylan song, when you ain't got nothing, you got nothing to lose. And so when you have nothing in the standing of the legal profession generally, there really is a freedom to speak truth to them and to stand up unapologetically for your faith.
Mm. Okay. Would you take about 30 seconds just to pray whatever's on your heart for our listeners before our time comes to an end?
I sure will. Thank you, Joseph. Let's go to the Lord. Father, again, we are grateful to you that you are a God who cares. Lord, you stoop low to hear from your children. And Father, there are some listening right now, I am sure, who are going through a dark valley. Might seem like the valley of the shadow of death to them. But Lord, we pray that you would minister and reach down and touch those that are in the greatest hour of need right now. Yes. Lord, shine your light in their otherwise dark hearts and minds. Yes. Father, we pray that by their looking away from themselves and their circumstances, they would look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, the name of Jesus, before whom every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. Lord, may his name be lifted on high in all of our hearts today. We pray in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Amen. And Father, thank you for Steve, and thank you, Lord, for the endeavor he's a part of, Lord. Raise up lots of people that will come alongside and lift him up in prayer and just be intercessors that will journey with him on this very important journey of his life. Bless him mightily. Thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Steve, for being with us today.
Thank you so much. What a blessing, Joseph.
Thank you for being a part of our listening family. And join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.